Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we give thanks this beautiful Lord's Day for our many blessings. What a privilege many of us enjoyed this morning of just quietly and simply but sweetly reflecting on the price that was paid for the likes of us. We're thankful, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He means to us and what He means to Thee. Now, Father, the needs are great this afternoon. We come in our weakness, and we need Thee to speak to our hearts again. We pray for those who have left. Pray that they will be protected, and pray, Father, that they'll be preserved. And for those of us who are here, may we hear the voice of God again today. Pray for the country of Venezuela, and pray for blessing and continuance of the great work of God going on there. We pray for this country. We pray for those in positions of authority, and we pray for the nation. And most of all, we pray for the prosperity of the gospel, that it will prosper and flourish, and that assemblies will be strengthened. Thanks, Father, for the kindness and the hospitality that many of us have enjoyed this weekend in a time of fellowship together. Now, help us as we open the Word of God and ask for help from the gracious Spirit of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now, just a warm thank you to the conveners and all the laborers this weekend at the conference. It was nice to be here, nice to share with fellow workers as well in the ministry of the Word of God, and appreciate all the kindness and the prayers and the outstanding hospitality and the delicious food that we have enjoyed. And we're looking to God for an afternoon of blessing. Now, if you have your Bible, we're going to read in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman, having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured a few drops. It doesn't really say that, does it? She poured it, didn't sprinkle a couple of drops, poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, and if there is a conference in Jackson in 2017, speak of her. Well, it doesn't say that, but isn't it something? In 2017, we're still going to go over this old but familiar story, still going out, that she hath done what she could, and this is to be told, and for a memorial of her. Now, look at the end of the chapter. Not quite the end. You saw how the chapter started off. Here's what I was enjoying. I know we've all enjoyed that little story in the past, but I just was thinking, what a tremendous contrast. Verse 65. And some began to spit. The chapter starts out with spikenard. And now it's spittle. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, Prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. Spikenard on his head, spit in his face. That's the contrast in Mark 14. Now you may be reading a rendering that doesn't have spikenard and spit. So you're reading nard. Well, nard and nails. But the point is you get the contrast. The contrast. Spikenard or spittle. And so I am looking at those remaining at the conference this afternoon. And you may be here today and you do have a life choice to make. You knew it was coming. And here it is, 2017. God divides this planet by one line or by one man. You are either on one side or the other. The question is, what do you think of Christ? The beginning of the chapter, someone thought this of Christ, that he is worthy of spikenard. At the end of the chapter, he's worth nothing more than spit in his face. That's how God sees the planet this afternoon. We fudge the boundaries. We blur the boundaries. But the Bible doesn't, and God doesn't. There are only two camps in the world. Mary, she represents the side who deeply loves and cherishes Jesus. She poured out with restraint the spikenard on his head. The other side is represented by those who spit in his blessed face. The world or Christ? Either or. The Bible doesn't provide a fence for any of us to sit on. We look for the fence. In fact, we think sometimes we're able to sit on the fence. We're only kidding ourselves if we're thinking we're sitting on the fence. No, we're gravitating to the camp that spits in his face. If we're focused on sitting on the fence, then we're on the wrong side. The epistles of John put it just that starkly. It's either or. No fence to sit on. Feelings of ambivalence towards Christ put you squarely in the world's camp. I wonder what camp you're in this afternoon. Which way are you leaning? That's what I want you to think about. Follow this story. 3.2 kilometers, 1.5 miles, whatever, southeast of Jerusalem, on the road to Jericho, on the Mount of Olives, beyond Gethsemane, there's a village called Bethany. Special place. Why? It's not mentioned very often in the Old Testament. I can't find any references to Bethany in the Old Testament. Today it is a small Palestinian-controlled suburb of Jerusalem. Never mentioned in the Old Testament, 11 times in the New Testament. What made Bethany special? Was it because it was a little hamlet, small, isolated village on the side of a rocky mountain, overlooking a wilderness, limestone rock, dangerous road to Jericho, where robbers lurked? That couldn't be what made it so special. Were the homes outstanding? Was it the architecture or the style or the character of the homes, the buildings? Were they elaborate? Were they expensive, ornate? What made? How did Bethany get on the pages of Holy Scripture? Was it the hamlet? Was it the homes? Or was it the heart? Hearts in the home that put Bethany on the world's map. 2,000 years later, we're still talking about Bethany because there were three hearts that had been won to the Savior. And while the world rejected this man, he knew the doormat was out and the welcome sign was up. Here you are embraced. We love you, Jesus. Come anytime. Spend as long as you want. We will give you royal treatment. We will give you the very best that we have. We love you. How's your heart this afternoon? When you sat here this morning, I refrained, but I wanted to jump up and just say, oh, how I love Jesus. He first loved me. If you had been here at the hymn sing last night, abysmal piano playing, but that aside, if you could have seen all the young people singing, and it was especially beautiful when they did it a cappella. You are my all in all. Young person, cherish that in your heart. I'm going to ask you, will you be at this conference next year if circumstances allow you to be here? Or are you drifting towards the other camp? Could you renew your vows and surrender to Christ again? You sang it, you are my all in all. Do you mean it? Mary meant it. There are three stories associated with this Mary. They all have one thing in common. It's often been noticed that those three stories about Mary have him, have her at his feet. Luke 10, she's a learning disciple. And John 11, a time of comfort, she's a sorrowing saint. And John 12, a worshiping servant. And if we go looking for Mary in the New Testament, where will we find her? At his feet. If we go looking for you, or if you go looking for me, where will you find me? At his feet. There's no sweeter place. There's no safer place than at his feet. The sick were cast down at his feet. Jairus fell at his feet. A sinful woman washed his feet with tears, kissed his feet, and anointed his feet with oil. Dear child of God, you know very well that we learn secrets at his feet. There are things that we've gotten all alone with our open Bible. Oh God, speak to my heart. I don't know whether I'm going to survive this storm. Sitting at his feet, and we got a little special sweet secret that just gave us enough to get through the next 24 hours. It happens at his feet. You learn secrets at his feet. Mary must have learned that Jesus would die. She must have learned that at his feet. She could see the hostility growing. I wonder, is this when she went out to purchase the anointing balm? Did she learn that at his feet that Jesus was going to die? And when she heard he's going to die, she goes out. I don't know what the shops were like in those days, whether there was a market, but there would be a variety of perfumes and ointments on the shop shelves in elegant jars and flasks. We can only imagine how the purchase was made. We wonder if she opens the door and she goes in and she looks around. What's on her heart? I want to get something for him.
I want the best for the best. He's going to die. And I want to have the honor of just what, no matter what it is. And she's scanning the shelves, and the shopmaker, the shopkeeper may say, yes, can we help you, ma'am? She may have asked, sir, what's the best ointment I can buy? Oh, he knew his stuff. He carefully lifted the long-necked flask off the shelf and carefully carried it over towards her. And he explains, a botanist friend of mine told me this beautiful fragrance is an ointment that's extracted from the Nardostachys jatamansi plant in India, commonly known as a pasita. This is top of the line, ma'am. The Perfumers Guild endorses it. This product is the most exclusive product. It's of outstanding value. Of course, ma'am, it's not cheap. It's the best we have. Imagine, Mary. It's the best you have. The best. That's what I want. I want the best for the best. Mine would be flooded with emotion. I don't know what kind of a purse she bought. She may have gotten it at a dollar store. I don't know. Or she may have had one of those expensive leather handbags. But I see her reaching in to her purse, and she gets a price, and she, all the money. Oh, you're gonna run yourself short. No, I'm not short at all. Oh, her heart is bubbling over with joy. This is exactly why I came here. She had heard the master say that he would die at the hands of those who rejected him. And if this happened, she wanted to be sure she had the very best ointment she could ever buy to anoint his body for burial. Sure, the cost was high. You're finding the cost high, dear child of God. 1 year's wages was not too big a price to pay for such a product for such a man. The best for the best. John 12 tells us it was very costly. I think that's only found one other time. Pearl of great price, the same. So this is very costly. Even when Mary's brother Lazarus died, I don't know whether she went into her room that day and said, well, I intended it for the master, but I didn't know Lazarus was going to die. Did she lift it up and think, shall I do it for my brother? And then can you see her putting it back down? No. That's for him. That's for him. As much as she loved her brother, her love for Jesus was deeper. He held the highest place in her heart. Imagine that spikenard flask on her bedroom bureau. The best for the best. I don't know when it was. Was it at the time of her brother's death that she learned something very special? That although the one she really loved, that he would die? Was it then that she realized he is the resurrection and the life? He's going to be raised from the dead. She seemed to have that insight. Maybe she learned it at his feet, and that his body would need no preserving balm or ointment at all. Is that what prompted her to use it beforehand? Oh, Mary wanted to make sure that the best for the best was used on the best. Oh, her life had been changed. Who was she before she met Christ? We don't know. And I don't think she knew this song. But I'm not sure who wrote this one. But I think this would be the language of Mary's heart. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I longed for. You have given life to me. And in light of that, why wouldn't you want to give your best? Why would you be gravitating to the world? Those that spit in his face, the world that's hostile. In Mark 14, we see Mary carefully carrying the elegant spikenard flask into Simon the leper's house for supper at meal. Mary's heart is throbbing with love, devotion for Jesus. Oh, she can see the dark clouds of hostility just there on the horizon. They're becoming more prominent. The clouds of opposition were swirling around her master with intensifying ferocity. Now was her opportunity. Mary goes in carrying the flask. She breaks it open. She just doesn't poke a pinhole in the top and say, I love it so much myself, I'm just going to and take some home from my bedroom. No, it says she pours out the rich ointment upon Christ, his head and his feet. If you read both accounts, the fragrance fills a house while others perceive the act to be a waste of money. Maybe your friends, even your Christian friends, maybe they don't appreciate the choices that you're making this weekend. They don't understand why you're going to just renew your commitment to Christ and say no to this and say no to that, and just with unhesitating obedience walk over and say, I'm with those who poured nard on his head, not with the world that drove nails into his hands. I want to get as far from that world as I can. If it counts, costs friends, goodbye friends, I'm with Christ. They counted it a waste. Jesus himself accepted it as an outstanding act of love, the devotion, worship, to remember, to be remembered down to the ages. Well, as you know, there are always critics. And so, as I said, they were saying it was a waste. Usually a critic exposes himself or herself more than the object of what they're criticizing. We often learn more about the person criticizing than the person being criticized. Criticism tends to expose our own motives. Their concerns over wasting resources or giving to the poor, they weren't the real issues. At the root of their criticism was their own selfishness. I know, if the Lord Jesus said this to me, would I get it? If he asked this to me, well, you may be attacking her act of service and devotion, but at least she has done what she could. I wonder, would I interpret that comment as, Peter, that's more than you've done. That's really what he was trying to say to them. Peter, you haven't given your all. You haven't done all you could do. Often when we attack the spiritual service of others, it's a way of masking our own failure. And if their pretense of devotion and love, if they sang, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all, if they sang that one, it was only from the lips out.
But Mary was doing it from the heart. Verse 6, Jesus says, in one translation it says, she has done a beautiful thing to me. Or she has done an excellent thing to me. I wouldn't be surprised if he had tears in his eyes when he said that she has done a beautiful thing to me. He didn't get much of that kind of treatment in this brutal, cold world. He knew what it was to be a refugee in Egypt. He knew what it was to be bullied. He knew what it was to be in a broken home. And now someone is doing a beautiful thing, the best for the best. Mary's devotion and worship was a driving force behind her service for and to the Master. And he says, she did what she could. You know what? He expects no more than this from anyone in this room. And definitely nothing less than that, though. Jesus knew how carefully Mary had treasured this ointment for him. John 12, verse 7, he says, she kept this. The word kept there means she carefully guarded and reserved this for me alone. And so we come to the end of the chapter. Spikenard over his head at the beginning of the chapter and spit in his face at the end of the chapter. Two camps, two sides, two extremes. The world is still divided. There are those who say he is worthy of the best spikenard available, while others treat him as dirt. Oh, the world's systems. Love not the world. The world systems organize with God on the outside. Whatever sector of society you look at, it's still at enmity. Oh, they might not have the nails flashing and the hammers pounding, but behind the scenes, the nails and the hammers are just as prominent. That's the world. If you've been cozying up and the gravitational pull has been pulling you in this direction, today in that seat where you're sitting, you can tune out the next 5 minutes and just do business with the Lord. He gave his all for me. The best for the best. I want to be with those who pour spikenard on his head and on his feet. Lord, help me at this Jackson conference to distance myself to the greatest possible extent from those, the world and all its systems, that spat in his face and drove nails into his hand.